Our scripture reading this morning will come from the Gospel of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. And the focus of our scripture reading will be verses 22 through 34. Verses 22 through 34. Now, we're in the midst of a series here in our congregation on the parables of Luke. And 2 weeks ago, I preached on the parable of the foolish builder, which precedes these verses. And while the verses this morning aren't a particular parable, as you'll see, they flow out of the parable of the foolish builder. So this morning's scripture reading will include verses 22 to 34, but I'm going to begin reading at verse 13 and read through the parable and then through our text, which goes through verse 34. So Luke 12, beginning at verse 13, is where I'll begin. And if you want to follow along with the particular verses of the sermon this morning, you can find that on the back of your outlines there, verses 22 to 34 of Luke 12. Let's pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word as we find it in Luke 12, beginning at verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said to his disciples, 'Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse or barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do so small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his splendor was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? Do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags and do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Thus the reading of God's word this morning as we find it in Luke chapter 12, verses 22 to 34, our scripture reading. Do you ever think to yourself, life could just be so much easier if I didn't have to worry about money and finances anymore? A lot of people think that way. The thinking goes, it just seems like we can never get over the hump. When one bill gets paid, then another bill comes along and something else breaks down or comes up, and there we find ourselves in financial trouble all over again. Life would just be so much easier if somehow we could obtain a large sum of money. a large inheritance, or as some wish, winning the lottery. If I didn't have to worry about finances, I could just finally relax and have peace. Does your mind ever cause you to think that way? In Luke chapter 12, Jesus has just told a parable about a man who had no financial worries. In the parable of the rich fool, Jesus has spoken about a rich farmer whose land had produced abundantly. And instead of giving thanks to God for the blessings that he's been given and the blessings that God has poured out in his success as a farmer and using those blessings for the kingdom of God, he devoted his life to tearing down his smaller barns and building bigger barns to store up his grain so that he could make even more money. By storing up his grain and having enough grain to sell when the market was high and not during the harvest time, he could increase his wealth by selling his grain when prices were most high. And instead of devoting his life to the Lord in the Lord's parable, this man is anxious about the future. He wants to be sure that he'll have enough money, that he wouldn't have to worry about finances anymore, that at the end of his days, as the text tells us, his soul will say to himself, I don't have any financial worries anymore. I can spend the rest of my days relax, eat, drink, and be merry. He believed that money would give him a life of peace. But in this parable, the Lord brings God into the picture at the end. And God comes to the picture on the day that the man's soul is required of him, our text tells us. And God comes into the picture and says to the man, where is your heart? He tells him specifically, as you read the verse there, the man says, or the Lord comes to him and says, fool, this night the soul is required to you, and the things you have spent your life preparing, where will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Do you see what happens to Mr. Barn Builder? You may be saying to yourself, Mr. Barn Builder, well, that's where I'd like to be. I want to reach a point where I don't have to worry about finances anymore. I don't have to be anxious about my future and always worried about whether I'll be able to provide or take care of myself or my family in the future. If only I could take that off the plate, things would be okay. But Mr. Barn Builder did that. And what we find about Mr. Barn Builder is that he actually lived his life as a very anxious person, anxious about his future, anxious about his earthly days. He devoted his life to saving up for the future and always trying to build more and more and more and having no focus for the kingdom of God or for God himself. And on the day that his soul was required of him, he doesn't have God. Now you notice as the parable begins in verse 13 that Jesus tells the parable to a crowd. In fact, the parable comes as a response to someone in the crowd who asked the Lord a question. But now after the parable is told in verse 29, Jesus is now directing his thoughts specifically to his disciples. And as he speaks to the disciples, applying this parable and what he wanted them to know from the particular parable, he is speaking not only to the disciples, he's speaking to his church, of whom the disciples are the foundation of. And in the verses that follow, as Jesus speaks of these things following the parable, our Lord has three particular points, which I've put on your outlines this morning. The first, Jesus speaks to them about anxiety, And he first tells them the symptom of their anxiety, which is the wrong mindset. Second, Jesus tells the disciples about the cause of their anxiety, little faith. And third, Jesus tells them and gives them the remedy for their anxiety, a heavenly focus. So let's begin this morning with the symptom of their anxiety. Again, the Lord is speaking specifically to the disciples, and what he wants them to see and understand following the parable is they have totally the wrong mindset. And because they have the wrong mindset, that is the reason, the symptom, the cause of their anxiety. He tells them in verse 22, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, or what you will put on." Now, notice how our Lord lays it out. He starts out and he says, do not be anxious about your life. And a lot of times when we read this verse, people think, well, he's talking about our earthly life. Don't be anxious about our earthly life. But as you come to the end of Jesus' interpretation of the parable, we see that Jesus is speaking not only of earthly life, but eternal life. And so when our Lord begins and he speaks about life, he's talking not only about your life on earth, but he's talking about eternal life with God in heaven. And as our Lord begins and he says, do not be anxious about your life, what so often happens to us and to the church and to people when they think about their life? When they're anxious, they don't think about heaven. They don't think, I belong to Christ and my salvation is secure and forever. Instead, they look at their earthly life. And they look at their earthly life and they become anxious because they start thinking, as Jesus tells them, they're worried what they will eat. They're worried about their body. They're worried about what their clothes will be. They are worried about their provisions in this world for themselves. The things, as Jesus tells us, of the body. The things not of heaven, but the things of the body, the things of earth, the things that you think your body needs. And he goes on to explain and bring it to a higher level in verse 23. For life, you see, eternal life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. He's telling us, look, we become anxious in this world because we look around us horizontally. And we think to ourselves, how am I going to do this? How is this going to be worked out? How am I going to provide for this? And we become anxious and we become concerned and we wonder about the future. And all these things then, in this mindset, cause us to be anxious before God and our relationship with Him. And so what does Jesus do as he goes on? He wants the disciples and he wants his people in the church to know that these things that take up so much of their time and consume so much of their interest and cause so much anxiety, these things of the body and how to provide for themselves in the body, our Lord says that's the wrong mindset. And let me give you an example of the right mindset. Look how he goes on in verse 24. Consider the ravens. Now he doesn't say, okay, consider this person or consider that person. He points to the ravens, the birds. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse or barn. You see how he's tying it into the previous parable. The barn builder who has storehouse or barn and is storing up his possessions and his future. And that is his focus of life in this world. His anxiousness leading him to devote his entire life to preparing for his earthly future and peace and anxiety. And Jesus now speaks and points them to the ravens. The ravens, what do? Well, they don't sow or reap. They depend on God. They have neither storehouse or barn. They don't store things up for the future. They depend on God. And yet, what happens? God feeds them. Now we know, of course, that the raven has to go and gather the food. The raven has to do something. The raven is, Jesus isn't saying to us, okay, you don't have to work. You don't have to provide for yourself. You don't have to do anything. Just live as if God will take care of you and everything will be provided. That's not what he's saying. But what he's saying is that he is going to the lesser, a bird, and he's pointing to the greater. You see what he does? You see how he ends that verse? Of how much more value are you than the birds? If a bird is provided for by God, if a bird can go about and know as he gathers his food and function as a bird without having to worry about where it is going to come from and being anxious, because the bird is focused on what God has given him. So much so, the greater a person who belongs to God should have confidence even more that God is going to provide for them. That their anxiousness for the future that they spend so much time on, that sometimes they will take and actually by providing a solution to that anxiousness maybe go down the wrong road. God, through our Lord and Savior Jesus, is saying, don't do that. You don't have to do that. You don't have to compromise your biblical values to somehow provide for yourself because you're worried that somehow God won't provide for you. Look at the raven, our Lord says. If the Lord is providing for the ravens, how much more will he not provide for you? And he goes on, as you see in the verses that follow, what does he say? And which of you, verse 25, by being anxious can add a single hour to the span of his life? All that anxiety that you spend your life for, that barn builder who spent all that time focused on building more and more wealth and providing for himself, how many hours did he add to his life? Did his life end sooner than God had planned? Did God reward him with longer days and longer hours and longer minutes of his life because he had succeeded so well in providing for himself and so his life was blessed and he lived even longer than expected? No, Jesus says, by all that anxiousness, by all that time you spend consumed with all of these things, who can add a single hour to his span of life? And the verse that follows, if you then are not able to do as small thing as that, if you can't add even an hour to your life, a small thing as that, by all the anxiousness that you spend in life, worried about these things, what does Jesus say? Why then are you anxious about the rest? Why? Why are you anxious then about the rest? You can't add a single hour. God has planned out every moment of your life. It won't end any moment sooner than what God has planned. And all your efforts to somehow preserve and provide and to take care of yourself, it doesn't make any difference. God is in charge, and God in his providence will bring about the beginning and end of your life in exactly the way that he has ordained and planned. But notice as our Lord goes on, he uses another example. He goes this time in verse 22 to the lilies. Now we spoke first of all about how our Lord starts out and he says, don't be anxious about your life and what you will eat. And now he's given us the example here of the ravens. And he's saying, the right mindset is to look at the ravens. That's how you're to look at things. And now he goes to the second issue, the clothing or the food. People worry about how they look. They worry about how they look before others. But what does Jesus say about the lilies? Verse 27, consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. We think of a lily. We had some lilies. We still have them here from Easter. A beautiful lily growing out in the field. Where does the source of its beauty come from? Does the lily do anything to somehow add to its beauty? No, for the lily, it grows because God makes it grow. It's beautiful because God makes it beautiful. They don't toil or spin, Jesus says. Yet I tell you, now it applies to us. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Solomon, as you go to your Old Testament, the most wealthy king in all the Old Testament, the king of Israel whose glory and wealth was known throughout all the world so that the Queen of Sheba and others were even going to see the splendor of his kingdom. And what does Jesus now say? A lily that God makes grow is more glorious than Solomon in all his earthly glory. The lily, you see, again, is the lesser. Look how he goes on. The lily is the lesser. The person is the greater. How much more is God not going to bless his people and bless them with glory, with beauty that comes from him? Think of how much time people spend today obsessed with their own time of making themselves look good, or trying to preserve their own beauty, or worried about what they will wear, or their clothing, or all of these things. And what does the lily show us? That ultimately our beauty comes from God. Why are you anxious about how you look, or about the attention you will get by how you look, or by how you prepare, or by what you wear, or by all the glory that you want to give to yourself? And Jesus tells us that in the context before God in heaven, it really doesn't matter at all. For true beauty is found in identifying with God and his kingdom. Verse 28. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, what happens? Tomorrow it's thrown in the oven. How much more will he clothe you? You look around and you see the beauty of the grass and of nature, and you say, wow, God made that, and that's beautiful. And you see the lily, and you think, God made that, and that's beautiful. But all of these things are temporary, you see. God is clothing the grass. He makes it alive in the field today, but tomorrow it's thrown into the oven for fuel, and it's used for something else. How much more will you, who belong to God, who someday will be with him forever in heaven, how much more valuable are you, one of his children, who belong to him for all eternity? And in heaven, it doesn't matter how you look. In heaven, people don't look at each other and say, wow, this one is more beautiful than that. In heaven, the glory, the beauty is God himself. And because you're with him, because you belong to him, you have the glorious splendor of heaven which exceeds anything that this world or any person that this world has ever known or seen. And Jesus says, these are the causes of so much anxiety. Symptoms, you see. Symptoms of people who don't have the right mindset. Symptoms of people who are consumed and anxious about all of these things that seem so important to them in life. And yet, what is the cause, the reason, number two on your outlines? What does he say? The end of verse 28, O you of little faith. Oh, you of little faith. You see, when people are focused in the wrong mindset, when they're focused and anxious about what earthly things they want to have or what earthly things they want to acquire, they've got something else, you see, that's devoting their time an attention away from God and His kingdom. You remember in the Old Testament how the people of Israel became focused on the body? Here God had led them through the Red Sea. Here they're on the journey to the Promised Land, and suddenly they're hungry. And suddenly, because of their focus on their hunger and on the bread and on the meat that they wanted to eat, they're rebelling against God. And they become spiritually dead and of little faith. Do you remember what Jesus did in the wilderness? When he was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, and Satan told him to turn these stones into bread, and he didn't do it. That is why Jesus can say to them, because of their anxiety is little faith. Little faith that they have in God and the salvation that God has given. They have taken their eyes off of God. They've taken their eyes off of Christ, and they've put it on something else, and it's causing them all kinds of anxiety. Like the disciples in the boat when the storm hits and they're looking around and our Lord is sleeping at the stern in the boat, and they've got the Lord right with them, and they're panicking and they're saying, Lord, don't you care if we drown? And Jesus says, where is your faith? Peter walking on the water, and he has our Lord say to him, come and walk on the water. And he's focused on the Lord, and he's taking steps, and he's doing okay. And then he looks down, and he starts to sink, and Jesus has to rescue him with his hand. Oh, you of little faith. You become distracted. You become distracted with the needs of the body, the horizontal things of life. Like the rich fool, you soon begin to set your mind on the wrong things, which causes you all kinds of anxieties about the future and what you think you need. And somehow you think that by obtaining earthly possessions, or if God blessed you with earthly things, somehow your anxiety would be gone and everything would be better. And Jesus says, that's not the solution, O you of little faith. In fact, look how he goes on in that next verse, verse 29, to contrast it. And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, or to be worried. For all the pagans, I know it's translated in the ESV as nations, but other translations I think more accurately say, for all the pagans, in other words, unbelievers in the world, who do not know God. What do? They seek after those things. They focus on the needs of the body. They think that by obtaining the needs of the body, food and clothing and all those kinds of earthly things, that they're going to find the peace and satisfaction and joy before God on earth. But they never do, because those things have become their God instead of God Himself. And what does Jesus say at the end of that verse? Your Father knows that you need them. And what are you to do? Instead, verse 31, seek His kingdom, and these things will be added unto you. If your focus is horizontal, if your focus is the body and what you think you need, if your focus becomes on, I'm anxious about my earthly future and taking care of myself, what about the kingdom? What about God? What about seeking the kingdom of God and ways to serve the kingdom of God? The foolish builder had no comprehension of these things. His total focus was obtaining more and more wealth so that his future could be, in his own mind, of peace and prosperity on this earth. And he lived his life anxiously trying to acquire and seek to obtain that. But if you want to find peace, if you want to deal with your anxiousness, it's not found in seeking those things. Anxiety is resolved spiritually in the kingdom. And when you know and understand the kingdom which comes to you through God's Son, Jesus Christ, all these things will be added unto you. Look how he expands in verse 28, 32. Fear not, little flock. Fear not, little flock. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to do what? To give you the kingdom. The remedy to anxiety is the Heavenly Father. The remedy to the anxiety is a heavenly focus. The remedy to an anxiety comes from where? It is the Father's good pleasure to give them to you. Oh, we think of ourselves. We have to do it. The resolution to our anxiety and our problems is something we do, something we figure out, something we can control, something that we can make better and find peace because we've made it better. But Jesus tells us it's not found in those things. It's found in the kingdom, and the kingdom comes to you not because of something you've done. It's God's gift. God sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. God sent His Son to pay for your sins. God sent His Son so that you could find peace and hope and anxiety, not in yourselves or not in earthly things, but in heaven and His kingdom, which is forever. But what does He say in the next verse? 33, sell all your possessions and give to the needy. Is that what you're to do? To say, well, the message that Jesus teaches us here today is that everything we have, if we really want to trust Him, we need to just sell it all, give to the needy, and live in a commune somewhere. Well, Jesus isn't saying that. But what He is saying is if those things are causing you to be anxious, if those things are interfering with you and your relationship with God, it would be better if you did not have them at all. If you want to find peace from anxiety about the future, look what he tells us in the rest of that verse. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old. Money bags that don't grow old. Money bags that don't wear out. Where do you find that? With a treasure in heaven that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. You see, everything that Mr. Barnbuilder tried to obtain, eventually a moth is going to decay and destroy. Every bit of wealth that Mr. Barnbuilder sought to attain, every investment he made, when the day came for his soul to be required of him, it was gone and had no meaning to him in all of eternity. He concerned himself that a thief might come or somebody might steal what he has, and he was obsessed with trying to protect himself from these kinds of things. So is the case of somebody who's focused on that and not heaven. Don't you see the meaning of the money bag of heaven? It never runs out. It never grows old. It's not an investment where you go, I've invested in the wrong thing and now it's failed and it's gone and I don't know what I'm going to do anymore. There's nobody that can steal that from you. It never decays. A moth never eats it because it is forever. It is eternity. And Jesus has given that to you. And that's why he tells us in verse 34, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus Christ has given you something that the world can never offer. Jesus tells us that the remedy to anxiety is to live on earth as if you live in heaven. There is no security in this world, in the things of this world, but only security in our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Are you one of those people who thinks that if only things would be better if I had enough? If I had enough money, I wouldn't have to worry about these things anymore. Jesus tells us it's not going to be that way. For Mr. Barnbuilder had money, but not God. Jesus reminds us today that the remedy to anxiety is not more money to take away your worries, but a different mindset. A mindset that is focused on faith in Him and the gift of the kingdom that God has given you. A mindset that when you see that as first, when you live as that, as a priority of your life, you will find that He has blessed you with everything you need for your relationship with Him. We like to think in our mind what we need, what we should have. If only we had this, things would be better. Why hasn't God blessed me with this? Some people think. But God has blessed you with everything you need for your relationship with Him. And if your treasure is the things of earth, if the food and clothes you wear is your treasure, you will always be anxious. But if your treasure is in God the Savior, He sent the Lord Jesus, your heart will be at peace. Whether God has blessed you with much or blessed you with little, your focus must always be on Him. Amen.